Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Standout Job Seeker podcast presented by JobScan.co. I'm your host, Sydney Myers, and I'm going to be joined in this episode by Dr. Kyle Elliott. He is a tech career coach. He works with executives. He's also a Forbes Coaches Council member and a LinkedIn top voice, so he knows his stuff. And we're going to talk about this key idea of finding your fabulousness and then how to display that on your resume, cover letter, LinkedIn. We really touched so many things here, like basically every single part of the job search. But along this key idea of finding your fabulousness and displaying it, because that's really the key. Whenever you're applying for a job, you're going to be competing with other people who are just as qualified for that job and have the same skills. That's why they're applying. So how do you really stand out? What's going to set you apart from the other candidates? And that's what we talked about in really practical terms, how to display it on your resume. He gets into different tips and tricks on your bullet points and how to display achievements. And so there's a lot of helpful things in here that you can start applying right away. So it's a really great episode. Listen to the whole thing. If you enjoy it, give us a rating, 5 stars on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. Let's get into this interview now with Dr. Kyle Elliott. Kyle, thanks so much for joining the show. You've been a career coach for 7 years now, maybe even longer than that, for when you started doing freelancing. And I wanted to start first with just like your approach to career coaching. I know you work mostly in the tech sector, but whenever you work with clients, like what's generally your approach and how you help them go from either the career they have or being unemployed into the career they really want?
Yeah, if I had to summarize my approach, it's two pieces. One is trauma-informed. So I take a trauma-informed approach to the work I do. And then the other piece is identifying and owning what makes them fabulous. There's a lot of competition in the job market. And then when you go for tech roles, there's even more competition. There's a lot of people in tech, even more people wanting to go for tech roles. We then have work from anywhere, remote work that has even additional competition on top of that. So it's helping people figure out what sets them apart. I call it their fabulousness, and helping them figure out what that is and sharing it. And that's where a lot of my work comes in with clients.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Does that like go beyond just having a great resume, or is that part of it? How does that fit into it?
Yeah. So a lot of it starts with the resume. When people reach out to me, they say, I just need a great resume and I'll be getting interviews. And I like thinking of it like a marketing pipeline, or I work with a lot of engineers. That's going through the whole pipeline and saying, what's not working here, or what can be fixed here? And where are we not sharing your fabulousness? It could be their resume. It could be their LinkedIn profile and cover letter. It could be in the interviews. It could be when they're networking. So us going through and saying, where are we not showing up? Where are you not showing up as fabulously as you could be? And really optimizing each of those stages. You're in marketing. You're not going to have 100% conversion at every single step of the funnel. But us saying, where can we go through and improve wherever possible? Stand out from all the other people applying for the same roles as you.
Okay. Yeah. That was going to be my question, is like, since whenever you apply for a job, all you have is like the resume and cover letter. So like, are you saying there's other opportunities you can create outside of that to show your uniqueness? Or is it more about like making sure in those documents you're showing that?
I would say both, and it's the resume and cover letter, us optimizing those, showing your fabulousness there. I think it's also LinkedIn. Are you having recruiters reaching out to you? And if not, how can we optimize that as well? There's other avenues too. Okay, you apply for a role. You could stop there, or you could be reaching out to people at the company. Do you know decision makers there? Do you have a friend or maybe someone you went to school with you could reach out to there? And then once you're getting interviews, that's a step ahead. But once you get interviews, how are you making sure those are converting as well? And it's often easy for us to focus on the resume. It's something tangible. We can often obsess over it. So it's easy to just focus on that. And while it's important, there's other steps as well through the pipeline that we want to make sure that we're optimizing and really just focusing on as well.
Okay. Interesting. So then, okay. So if we take each piece of that, and we'll go into this idea of showing your unique value and your fabulousness. And we start with the resume. It sounds like, is this more than just, so this would be more than just listing skills. Is it more like how you describe your experience with those skills, or does it go even further than that?
I would say even further than that. A lot of times when I speak with people, they say, oh, I met all the skills in this job posting. I have the experience. That's great. And I argue that's table stakes. Maybe half of the people applying for the role are going to be qualified. Yes, you have those people who aren't qualified. You're not competing with them. But let's say you're applying to be a marketing director. Other marketing directors are going to be applying, and maybe there's hundreds of other marketing directors applying. You have to say, here's what sets me apart from them. So yes, you want your years of experience. Yes, you want to show your marketing skills. Yes, your degree in marketing or journalism or English. Yes, the courses you've taken, and what sets you apart from every other marketing manager. And that's what's key as well. Why should they choose you over the hundreds of other people who are applying, who are also qualified and meet those minimum requirements?
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, you're going to get to a point in your career where the roles you're applying for, the other applicants are also really well qualified. So then I always think of, or at least in my job search, I've always taken the cover letter as my opportunity to show that, my unique value. But are there ways you can do that on the resume too?
I would do it everywhere. So I love that you're doing it in the cover letter. One phrase people can steal that I like using is, here's what sets me apart from other blank. Here's what sets me apart from other marketing leaders. And literally give examples. Do the recruiter's job, or help the recruiter do their job on that cover letter, and say, here's three things that set me apart. Maybe it's, I'm focused on growth marketing, if you're a marketing person, and share some examples. Or if you're in engineering, maybe I understand front end and back end development and share that example. Or maybe it's customer success and you speak three languages. So give those specific examples and help them understand what sets you apart. And then back it up as well. Don't just say, oh, I know growth marketing, but then give an example of when you've done that successfully and connect the dots. And then I would do the same on your resume as well. Not just, I meet the qualifications. You want some, I consider it wow moments when they're going through the resume, where they're stopping as they're scrolling through hundreds of resumes and they say, well, wow, I really want to talk to this person.
Okay.
And not just going to the next resume.
Okay. So that makes me think that when you're writing your resume and like your work experience section, you list the job, like job title, company, and all that. But the bullet points would not just be like a list of responsibilities that you had, but it would be a complete list of like, this is what makes me different.
Exactly. And we want to include keywords in there. One, just for the applicant tracking system to make it easy for the recruiter, the sourcer, the hiring manager to find you. So you can even start the bullet points with those keywords and say, growth marketing, colon, and then have an amazing accomplishment that sets you apart. So the recruiter says, great, they have growth marketing. And then you give an example of some great growth marketing initiative you've done, or some fabulousness that sets you apart. So you're saying, yes, I meet the requirements. And instead of just saying, manage growth marketing, you give them an example, or you could even have a case study. Some of my clients will have an example of, here's some case studies I've done. I've led hundreds of growth marketing projects. Here's some highlights of two or three of them I'm really proud of. And we're saying growth marketing as an example, but you could do this for anything, engineering, sales, at a client who did customer success. So they had hundreds of clients and they said, here's three of my favorite clients on their resume, and shared just some examples and some big household recognizable names. The resume, you want to say, yes, I'm qualified. But I think of that as just kind of like a check mark. You want to then add a plus after that check mark and say, here's what's different or unique about me, and why I'm not just qualified, but why I'm different than all the other people whose resumes you're reading.
Yeah, I love that idea of skill colon, like measurable achievement or something, or highlight, because it can be difficult sometimes to fit in the skill. And I think for some job seekers, when they're like, if they're using a tool like JobScan, for example, they see it as just like keyword stuffing, or it's unnatural, because it can be hard to like fit it in there. But that's such a simple way to
to do it. And it also kind of makes it clearer for the person reading it. They see this skill and then how you demonstrated it. It's just a little more organized.
Yes, and we talk so much about customizing your resume. People can't see this, but I have a timer on my desk I use with clients and it says 20 minutes. Some of my clients are recovering perfectionists or perfectionists like me or type A, so they might do 40 minutes. But I would suggest setting a timer for 20 minutes and changing those keywords for each job you're applying to. So let's say you're going for a demand marketing job instead of growth marketing. You might switch that word from growth marketing to demand marketing. And it's a subtle change. But if I'm a recruiter reading hundreds of resumes and I don't see demand marketing, I'm going to go to the next person. So you can make little subtle changes using those keywords from JobScan and more organically put it throughout your resume rather than just a bunch of keywords in your summary or at the end.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. I know, like, from being on the hiring end, the recruiter has like really specific guidelines they're given for the kind of person to find. And so they want to stick to that because that's just they get a better result from it. Just like making it easier for them and they don't have to guess like, well, they've done this. That's kind of similar to what we want. Just say, I have done exactly the thing that you are looking for. Yeah.
That's the key I tell people often. Yeah, make it easy for them.
Yeah.
Make it so easy. And then I say, oh, wait, you speak three languages. Where is that? Oh, it's way down here hidden. No, put that at the top. Make it easy for them to find.
Okay, yeah. So then this kind of leads me to, like, I feel like this would take up a lot of space. Like, does that happen a lot where once you start listing skill achievement, that could be like a ton of skills and a ton of achievements. So how do they fit all of that in like a 1 to 2 page document?
I would pick and choose. If you use that timer, some of my clients will have a master resume that's 3 or 4 pages. And then they'll put side by side. You can have your screen on one side, have the job description, which I think of like a recipe card. They're saying we want A, B, C, D, E ingredients. And then your resume, you're matching that. And you can say, which of these items match? And let me cut the ones that don't match. Let's say, for example, the job posting doesn't mention managing a budget. And then you have a bullet around managing a budget. I would cut that from your resume in most situations.
Okay.
So then you're not like $20 million budget. Well, maybe this job doesn't have a budget or P&L responsibility. So you want to connect the dots for them. And that's a quick change you can do, just cutting the unnecessary bullets and help align it and keep it to 2 pages.
Yeah. Okay. How do you determine, because there's going to be like a lot of skills listed on the job description. So how do they pick, like we often correlate it with quantity, like the amount of times mentioned, it's probably more important to the company. How do you help clients determine like which skills, you can only have like 3 to 4 bullet points, how do they pick?
I think part of it's quantity, part of it's order, not always, but oftentimes the higher up it is, if it's the first bullet or 2 or 3, that can be helpful as well. I also like using logic. I have people close their eyes, put on their recruiter hat and say, if you're a recruiter going through hundreds of resumes, what do you want to see? Maybe this is a people management position. The first bullet or 2, I'm going to want to see that you've managed people. If I can't figure that out really quickly, I'm probably going to go on to the next person. I mean, maybe if it's a team lead or an entry-level manager. But if this is a senior manager, a director, a VP, C-suite, I need to see that you've managed teams. So I would sometimes step away from the data, let it inform you, but step away for a moment, close your eyes and say, if I'm a recruiter who is managing 20, 30, 40 recs, maybe knows a little bit about this role, but not a lot, what words am I going to be looking for? What am I going to need to glean really quickly from this? It's going to be people management if it's that kind of role. If it's marketing, I'm going to want to see marketing. If it's engineering, there might be certain languages that they're going to look for. And really quickly, they're going to want JavaScript or C++ or something. And making sure those items are really easy, like you said, for them to find and they don't have to dig for it.
Okay. So then, now I'm thinking, I might have kind of jumped ahead because now I'm like, okay, so we know how to highlight this on the resume, but first, how do I even know what to write? Like, how would a person identify what makes them unique or their fabulousness?
That's the question I get a lot. So I think we went in a great order. I wouldn't recreate the wheel. A lot of times people already have some pieces that make them fabulous and they forget to inject it or insert it into their resume, their cover letter, their LinkedIn. I would see if you've already documented this somewhere or if someone else has documented it. It might be a performance review where someone has said some nice things about you or some colleagues if your company does a performance review where other people say stuff and see if there's any themes. Sometimes emails, if you've had colleagues, bosses, clients, vendors said things and if there's a trend. If you're listening to this, I would text some people. This is my favorite thing. I call it a mini 360. Text a half dozen people and say, hey, I'm listening to the JobScan podcast. What makes me fabulous? Can you share some specific examples of that in action as well? I wouldn't do it in a group text. You might be tempted, but I would send it separately and see what people say. And oftentimes there's a theme. I work with a lot of technical people and they're like, no one's mentioning my technical skills, but oftentimes it's these things that a lot of people might notice that you may not notice about yourself as well that can be really fascinating.
Okay. What do you think about like the personality tests? And of course, there's the standard ones like Myers-Briggs, but there's a whole bunch of them out there that help you identify this. Have you used any of those? What do you think of them?
Yes, I'm certified in a lot of assessments and inventories. I think they can be powerful. Like I use Gallup StrengthsFinder. What's unique about that is it gives you, even if you and I had similar strengths, based on the order of our strengths, it gives us unique language. So a lot of my clients use that as a jumping off point. What I would do is then find examples that back it up. So like maybe my top strength's an achiever. Okay. And then where's an example where I can back that up would be really powerful. And maybe you struggle with that. So I would do a 360 to then ask people around you. Or if you have a partner or a friend, you can even ask them, what have I shared about my job that's really interesting and memorable? I love this one too, because it's interesting to see what people around you remember about your job that you don't. They might be like, oh, you did this really cool thing with the Olympics. And we just had the Olympics, but they might be like, you did this cool thing with the Olympics, or you worked on a Super Bowl commercial. And to you, that might just be a normal day at your job, but to them, that's something interesting and memorable. Mm. So I love having people ask their partners or their friends or family, and some really cool insights can come up. And they're like, oh, I forgot about this. And they never even mentioned on their resume they were part of the Super Bowl commercial, or they worked with the celebrity or influencer or something like that.
Yeah. Do you find that happens a lot where when they talk to other people, it's not just that they like forget or something, but they don't even realize that that was unique or special?
Absolutely. Sometimes when you're really good at something and it comes natural to you, you don't realize it's actually not something that's normal to other people. A lot of my clients, some of their soft skills, it's just natural to them, especially in tech, and they don't realize a lot of other people don't have those skills. So I think asking other people can be helpful and really kind of shed light on it.
Okay. So I like that. The performance reviews, I don't know why I didn't think of that, but yeah, going back and looking at those, texting people, asking coworkers. And I think that's a good point about like the assessment tests are really helpful, but they don't know the specific examples. So it kind of more just gives you a hint of like, find a specific example of this because you're really good at it. Yeah.
And a lot of my clients want to use AI. They're in tech. So they want to use AI. But AI doesn't have your examples. It doesn't have your content. So it can ask probing questions. It can help you reformulate your words. But you have to give the content to it as well. So I think it's important to remember it's only going to assess what you give it. You still have to give the content to the AI that you're using. So it's important to remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, I tested whenever ChatGPT released their voice thing. I was testing it with writing a resume, and what I did was I just talked to it about the things I had done, like my achievements. Because a lot of times the hard part is not like thinking of it; it's just like writing it into a bullet point that's like 10 words. And so I just like talked to a conversation, like this is what I did, and then it put it into a bullet point. So it can be helpful for that. Like it doesn't know you, like it can't write it, but it could kind of help to be like, this is how you could describe that skill kind of thing.
I think that's a perfect use case. I think that's smart. When you and I were chatting before, one way a client used it was like, here's three bullets. Which of these is most powerful? Or how can I make this more powerful?
Yeah.
What questions should I be asking myself to think of my accomplishments? So helping you think rather than just expecting it to know you, as you said. Maybe one day it'll know us somehow based on all the data out there, but right now it doesn't know you. So you have to put content in there for it to help you revise it.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So then, all right. So we got that and we kind of talked about how to do this on the resume and a little bit on the cover letter. Is there more, like, is the cover letter, should they see that as a totally separate document as their resume? Or I know for some people, it's kind of like a summary of their resume. How should they view their cover letter in this context?
I wouldn't consider it totally different, but I would consider it a Venn diagram where they overlap, but not too much. If it's just a summary of your resume, then they have no reason to read it. Yeah. I think of it as an opportunity to build upon your resume and say, here's what sets me apart. When we talk about your performance review, I love including a sentence or two from your performance review in there, or a testimonial from LinkedIn in there, some things that set you apart. You could do the case study or two in there. Here's some examples of projects or initiatives or clients who have been happy. The key here is to make it really easy for the recruiter to say, oh my gosh, yes, we need to interview you.
Yeah. That is such a good idea to include a few statements from the performance review. I don't know why I never thought of that, but that's so obvious. That, like, such a good idea because it's like another way for them to hear something really good about you, but it's not just you saying it or theoretically making it up. Like, this is what somebody else said about me. Yeah.
I love it for soft skills. A lot of times it's hard to talk about soft skills. So when there's a soft skill, people want to highlight testimonials and performance reviews, 360s. I like putting those in there. And we don't want the whole thing to be just testimonials, but a short one, even a sentence, can be really powerful to talk to that, especially if it's someone powerful, your boss or an executive or a really important client.
Yeah. The soft skills thing, such a good point. It's like, because people, I hear this question a lot of like, how do I talk about soft skills on my resume? Because maybe they don't want to take up the space instead of talking. Like, so how can they do that? Like, fit in talking about soft skills? Like, what's the best way that you've seen that done?
One way I like framing it is, what was the results? Like, okay, you had these soft skills. What were the results that you delivered? And it might be, did someone get a promotion on your team? Did you win a new account? Were you able to remove some silos and bring two teams together that weren't collaborating well? I think of it, and I realize it's touchy. We're having a lot of layoffs, especially in tech. But if you had a slide you had to present as to the executive team or the board, like, here's why you should keep my position. What would be on that slide? And you wouldn't say, I'm a great communicator on that slide. Maybe you'd say that, but I don't think your slide would do very well. You'd say, here's some problem I solved. And you might say you used your communication skills, but it would be more about business value you delivered or cost savings or some friction you eliminated or some processes you improved. So I would just dig deeper there. For my tech people who know the five whys, you can then kind of go underneath and keep peeling back. Okay, why was that important? That a great communication. Okay, great. I eliminated this bottleneck. Okay, why was that important? To keep digging under there can be really powerful.
Yeah, that makes so much sense because there's a reason they want that soft skill. And the result really points it, like it connects that with why they want that skill. So it's like not just saying, I have the skill, but it's more just saying like how you can use it. And they're like, oh, that's what we've been needing. Like we don't have any established processes. We need someone who's good at change management or something. So yeah, I like that.
Going back to what we hit on earlier, you can then connect it to the job posting and even use their language with that colon. If they say executive presentations, that might be why they want someone with soft skills, or executive influencing or cross-functional collaboration. You can then pull in their own language and connect the dots for that recruiter or that hiring manager.
Yeah, that's so good. That's such a great point because they're in the company and they know what the situation is and they know, like, based on this, I need somebody who's not just a marketer or not just an engineer, but like someone who can handle this specific situation, because every company is unique. So whenever you give those examples of either soft skills or hard skills, it tells them like, I am the right person for that situation.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So then we talked about resume and cover letter. You know, LinkedIn, I think, is overlooked a lot by job seekers. And one thing I always tell job seekers is like, you need to take advantage of every opportunity you have to make a good impression and say why you're qualified. LinkedIn is one of those. But how do they, is LinkedIn different than, you know, resume and cover letter? How do they mm-hmm. approach that in that kind of like Venn diagram you were talking about?
I think it's different. A lot of people will copy and paste their resume onto LinkedIn. I'm not a fan of that. One of the reasons then is if you put everything on your LinkedIn, you're not able to customize it, your resume for each job you're applying, or your LinkedIn is them just sharing everything. You want to be mindful of the information you put on LinkedIn. Some of it might be confidential or proprietary or just shouldn't be out there. Also, your LinkedIn, you really want to be mindful of SEO or search engine optimization. If your LinkedIn is crafted in a way that's intentional, that's keyword optimized, recruiters will be finding you. So you want to go through and include those correct keywords. Your resume is targeted for just one role, while your LinkedIn is an umbrella for all those different types of roles you're targeting. So you might apply for one marketing manager, marketing director role with your resume, but your LinkedIn has to apply to any marketing role that you go for. So you want to use some broader keywords. We'll appear in different searches.
Yeah.
And then beyond the SEO, once they land on your profile, you don't want it to just be a bunch of keywords, but you want them to then be enticed to reach out to you.
Okay. Okay. How can they, so then what part of it is that? How do they add that element?
I think part of it's your fabulousness. It's not just saying I meet the requirements, but what's interesting where they have to say, oh, that's interesting. You might highlight at a high level some case studies you've done, but not going into every nitty gritty. If you give them all the details, if you say, here's the exact numbers, here's the entire scope, they have no reason to reach out and get more details. You want to give them enough. I think of it like a commercial preview for a movie or a Netflix series or Hulu series that you want to watch. You're like, well, this is interesting, but I need to go watch and see more. So your LinkedIn, you want to do the same. Give them a little bit where they say, well, this is interesting. That looks fun and exciting. And then they want to reach out and learn more from you.
Okay. So then I'm curious, does that go beyond the the work experience section on their profile? Or is it really just all about that? Or because there's also like, the about section, the featured section, even the banner. Do those like have an impact in your experience?
There's quite a few different sections on LinkedIn. The three I like focusing on for keyword purposes, for branding purposes, are your headline. That's one of the first things people see. It's right under your name. Your about section. I like treating it somewhat similar to the cover letter, where it's not just repurposing your resume, but it's saying, here's what sets me apart. And then your experience section, where we go through and give a high level of what you've done and have some keywords strategically weaved into there, similar to how you weave keywords into your about section.
Okay.
Headline.
Yeah. And I think that especially in, I guess in all contexts, I was going to say that especially in LinkedIn, the keywords matter because of the way recruiters can search, but they can do the same thing in the ATS. So it's kind of the same principles. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know if people know this, so I'll say it just in case, but like, recruiters can use the recruiter version of LinkedIn. The search function is like very deep. They can do all kinds of searches based on skills, job titles, experience. And so every part of your profile is getting broken down into bits of data. Yeah. So it's all important. Can I go specifically in that? So like the about section.
Yeah.
I see some that are really short and some that are really long. Does it matter or what?
I'm a fan of being longer, like more keywords in there that are strategic, intentional, that are correct for you. If someone's looking for a marketing manager, for example, and you don't have the word marketing manager on your profile or your about section, I'm hypothesizing you're less likely to be showing up in searches than someone who has marketing manager in their about section and throughout their profile. So I would think kind of what words, again, going back to that intuition or putting your recruiter hat on, what words would a recruiter look for and then make sure those are in your about section and those other sections as well?
Okay. Okay. And then what about the headline? I see some, okay, you have options of like you can use emojis or not. You can put your skills or just your job titles or your mission in life. Like, what do you find is the most effective, I guess, like kind of template layout for the headline?
You can use your current role, but I would only use your current role if it's the same role that you're targeting and the same role you want to be found for. So if I'm an engineering manager, I would only use engineering, my current title, if I'm also going for engineering manager roles. I'd instead want to use words of the jobs I'm targeting. If I'm going for engineering leadership roles, I want to make sure that title is appearing in my headline. Okay. I also like making sure your fabulousness or your unique value propositions in your headline, if it's that you speak multiple languages or that front end and back end experience, whatever your fabulousness is in there. And then I would have some of those other keywords. So maybe some of those skills on your resume. We don't want a laundry list of 10 of them, but usually three or four of those keywords that a recruiter might look for, maybe software development life cycle or engineering team leadership or technical project management. Putting those in your headline can help increase you showing up in more searches on LinkedIn.
Okay. 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 So this is all really great advice. I thought of a question during this. What if someone thinks that they just don't have anything special about them? Of course, we know that's not true, but how do you walk your clients through that process of like kind of getting that block out of their mind?
One of my beliefs is everyone is fabulous, even some people that I strongly disagree with. But I believe everyone's fabulous. That's one of the reasons I like looking to other people to maybe give some insights or data points that could be helpful. Those performance reviews or texting some other people can be helpful. It's too much for our podcast now, but I'd also uncover where that belief started from.
Oh, yeah.
Does that belief align with their values now? But like in short, if for here for the podcast, if you're feeling that way, I would get some insights from other people and kind of some evidence that is contradictory to the fact that, okay, maybe I don't think I'm unique or fabulous, but here's some proof that actually I am.
Yeah. Yeah. You do trauma-informed career coaching, which I think makes so much sense because there is like a lot of that baggage that you bring to the process and it does affect you. Like you might have because of either childhood or other life experience, like limiting beliefs or your core belief about yourself is off. And so it influences all of this. I think that's where a coach can kind of help with that. Okay. So this has been so extremely helpful. So many things that I just like didn't even think about. Thank you so much for taking the time to share. I would love for people to connect with you more. Where is like, I know you're really active on LinkedIn. Where's the best way for people to connect and get more insights from you?
Yes, LinkedIn, Kyle Elliott with 2 L's, 2 T's. And then my website, Kathleen Kyle, is a great place to connect as well.
Okay, awesome. Thanks for joining. This was great. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you for having me.